This is St. Louis Public Radio. Last month, a Missouri House subcommittee released a list of recommendations to address a proven culture of harassment and intimidation at the Department of Corrections. But some corrections officers say things won't change until some of the current supervisors and high-ranking officers are fired. St. Louis Public Radio's Marshall Griffin takes a closer look.
Missouri's corrections officers work in a high-stress environment where there's a risk of violence from some inmates. But several of the state employees have faced violence and intimidation at the hands of their supervisors and co-workers. The Kansas City-based online publication The Pitch recently reported that more than $7.5 million in settlements and judgments have been paid out since 2012 in more than 60 lawsuits. That money came from the state's Legal Defense Fund, which is part of Missouri's annual state budget. The list of recommendations suggests the agency set up a zero-tolerance policy toward harassment and intimidation, provide annual sexual harassment training, create new recruiting and hiring procedures for supervisors, and have a probationary period for new hires. But almost all of the recommendations have been in place for years, according to Frederick Richardson, a former corrections officer at the Tipton Prison.
Almost like a mafia. It's the same families that run the prisons. You're talking about small communities, real small communities, where the prisons are at.
Richardson was hired shortly after getting a medical discharge from the military. He says he was accused by a supervisor of giving improper notice over taking prescription drugs at work, then harassed by coworkers and superiors, and later fired. Richardson is suing DOC for wrongful termination and harassment. He says nothing will change until the cliques running the prisons are broken up.
You would have to make a committee that has nothing to do with DOC, so they don't know who's who or related to nobody. And if something's going on, let them investigate it.
One of lawmakers' recommendations call for requiring in-depth management and leadership training for wardens, supervisors, and other leadership positions. Alexis White says that's not happening. She's a corrections officer at the DOC's facility near Charleston in the Boot Heel region.
I think supervisors need to be held accountable and be put through further training. And when they do not do what is required by policy, there should be a policy set forth, for their failure to be a supervisor.
White had a romantic relationship with her supervisor, to whom she's now married. They were disciplined. She was suspended 5 days without pay, and he was demoted and transferred to another facility. She also says the discipline was unfair because she's black, her husband is white, and other supervisors are getting away with the same thing. She says that shows there's a good old boy system at work.
Depending on who you're friends with, or what race you are, or, your interaction with supervisory staff that are in those cliques, you will get away with other things that other people will not.
Ann Preseith took over as corrections director earlier this year, coming from North Carolina, where she oversaw that state's prison system. She says they're working to get rid of the department's, quote, bad actors.
And it's just going to take a little while for us to identify who those people are, and then they have the decision to make, do they want to come along with how we're doing business today? If they don't, they'll be held accountable.
She acknowledges that many of the recommendations were already in place before she arrived, but she's implemented a new one, creating a professional standards office that's reviewing every complaint made by employees.
We have a very specific process about how to handle sexual harassment, workplace retaliation, and then we're reviewing those investigations. My new director for adult institutions, Elena Boyles, along with staff, they're taking an independent look at them as well.
Preseith says she also wants to improve the Department of Corrections by raising employee salaries and cutting the cost of managing inmates. That second part may be easier than the first, considering the state's budget crunch is unlikely to give corrections workers a salary boost anytime soon. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin, St. Louis Public Radio.